And let's pick up where we left off. We're talking about, we've gone through this book. We definitely won't finish tonight. I know I preached a little bit long last week, but I think that was an important lesson we needed to look at. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're seeing how, again, the theme throughout Thessalonians is the return of the Lord. And in chapter 5, this knowledge that the Lord's coming back should be a sanctifying truth. As John addresses in his epistles, that knowing the Lord's coming back, what manner of man we ought to be. So this ought to be a motivation for us. And you see in verses 1 through 11, words of explanation, as he gives us some great contrast, and how there's, and you'll notice the pronouns we talked about, there's us, and then there's them. All right, and that's really important to understand. And this chapter, this book and the next epistle are so important because we live in an age today where there's a lot of different teaching going on about the return of Christ and the rapture and when it's going to be, and a good knowledge of these two books will help us and stay on the right doctrine. But you see this great contrast he talks about in the words of explanation. Then we got down to verse number 12, and we saw words of exhortation. So he beseeches them in verse number 12. So knowing that the Lord is coming back, we comfort each other in verse number 11. We edify one another in verse number 11. And then here's the word of exhortation. We talked about this number one, and here's his instructions, knowing the Lord's coming back. Number one in verses 12 and 13, we talked about it last week. We need to follow our pastor. And we spoke of what the Bible says there, to know what he does, who he is, and why we should follow him. Then we saw at the end of verse number 13 that we should fellowship peacefully, and how important it is that God's people and God's church especially be in unity. Then we see in verses 14, we saw that we need to be finding people. Now, these are principles. Knowing the Lord's coming back, we need to follow our pastor, fellowship peacefully, and find people. Because we talked about, first of all, last week, there are people that need help. And then we spent the majority of last week's message on, as it says in verse number 14, let's read there. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. We talked about last week the disorderly, those who are outside the rules. We talked about what that means. We talked about church discipline, that the Bible still teaches that. That church discipline is still and should be an understood and practiced doctrine. We have a responsibility to warn them that are unruly, people that step out of bounds. And again, we discussed that and how to do that in love and what that exactly means. But the disorderly, warn them that are unruly. That's where we stopped last week. Just keep reading. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Let's finish up this tonight looking at others who we need to be on the lookout that need help. Let's pray. Father, Lord, again, we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you for our church. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please use the message now for your honor and for your glory. Father, I pray you teach us, Lord, to keep our eyes open to help those around us, those that you bring into our life. This is an important message for us tonight. Lord, knowing you are returning, and that return could be soon, could be tonight. Father, we are exhorted here to be ever so vigilant about helping people. God, just teach us your word now, and we love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's look at this tonight real quick. Number one, we saw last week that we need to help the disorderly. Number two, we need to be on the lookout and help those who need help. And the second group he speaks of is the despondent. The despondent. It says in verse number 14, warn them that are unruly. And look what it says, comfort the feeble-minded. It's the only time that this word's used in the Bible. But it means the faint-hearted, those who have lost their hope, those who have lost their spirit, their joy, those who have kind of thrown their hands up and just are done. It's kind of the opposite of the disorderly. The unruly are those basically who think way too much of themselves, all right? They're going to do it their way. They don't really care. The despondent are kind of the opposite. They are people who lack confidence. They don't think they can go on. Many of us have been there before. Most of us will probably go through that if the Lord doesn't come back. You see, what happens is this, that people allow themselves to become troubled in mind. And they lose hope. They lose their confidence in the things of God. In 2 Thessalonians, you can probably look at it like me if you need to turn a page, but 2 Thessalonians 2, you see he's still addressing this when he writes a second letter to the Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Again, that troubling of the mind is the same idea there that we just read, the feeble-minded. And here's how it happens. I know we've talked about it many times before, but that's what we're studying. How does this happen? We become troubled in our mind by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us. And again, he exhorts them, knowing as the day of Christ is at hand. This all has to do with the fact the Lord's coming back. So don't allow your mind to become troubled, shaken, lose hope. He gives us three things in verse 2 there that can cause this. And I've preached on this before. I'm not going to stay on it long. But when it says there, words, all right, and letters, just like the one he just wrote, all right, be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you read, because it will begin to trouble your mind. There's a whole lot of junk out there, especially in this age of the internet, and especially in this age where everybody can post things, and I take advantage of that, you know, and I try to get as much information as we can out there. But the fact is this, there are a lot of false teachers out there spreading heresies and false doctrine and things that are lies, and we better be careful, because if you fill your mind with those things, it will begin to trouble your mind. So be careful who you listen to. Just because they're on the radio doesn't mean they're worth listening to. Just because they wrote a blog doesn't mean you need to read it. Just because they make a post on Facebook doesn't mean that it's truth. Just because they have a video on YouTube doesn't make it truth. Be careful, all right? Right, you say, well, I'm bored, all right? Then you can go to Sermon Audio and listen to about 1,800 hours of sermons just from our pulpit. That'd take up a lot of time, right? That's a lot, right? But the fact is, you can say, well, I want something else. Then ask me. I'll point you directions, all right? But be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you read. But notice there's a third thing there in that verse, and the first thing he mentions that can trouble our mind is by spirit. The devil's a whisperer. He's a liar. You better be careful, because he will use all three things. So whisper in your ear, some lie, some false teaching, some false thinking. Then he'll direct you to find someone who wrote about that false teaching and make sure that someone else comes and talks to you about that false teaching. Be careful, because it will leave you feeble-minded. You lost hope. You kind of sit there in a pew and you think, I'm done. I can't. That's where the devil wants you to get. He wants to convince you that you can't go on. People get hurt. People get scared. People become despondent. They lose all their hope. Back to 1 Thessalonians 5, it is our responsibility, look at verse number 14 again, to comfort them. That's our job. You say, You know, yes, you do that, Pastor. Back in verse number 12, we beseech you, who is the one that's supposed to be doing this? The brethren. Who is the brethren? If you're saved, raise your hand. All right, that's us. We are to do this. This is a command from the Word of God to comfort the feeble-minded. That requires a couple things. That requires us looking for them. That requires us looking and be alert and trying to find them. It's easy, and I agree with this, to come to church, sit in our pew, do the church thing, go out, talk to the same group at the end of every church service, and leave and get in our car and go on with our week. What we should do is every time that we walk into these doors, look around us and ask God if there's someone He wants us to speak to tonight. Look around during the singing. Because someone who has become feeble-minded loses the joy of singing. It's just facts. They'll look up during a song service and they'll stare. Because something's going on in their heart and in their mind, and they lose that joy. Look at them during a church service, during the preaching, as they kind of put their hand in their heads and they kind of stare at the ground or stare at the sky, and you can just see their mind is elsewhere. Let God use you to help them. It is, listen to me, all of our responsibility, according to the Bible, to comfort the feeble-minded. That requires some action. Let's be honest, our normal reaction in the time that we live today and in churches, unfortunately, is we think to ourselves, I don't want to get involved. I'll just pray for him from a distance. And I'm not belittling prayer, but the Bible says to do more than pray. Well, I'll just watch them. I'll let them be. Hope they get through it. The Bible here in this verse, in verse number 14, gives us a call to action. Let me expand that a little bit. Has someone been missing for a while? Has someone not been at church for a while? Have you reached out to them? When someone walks in our door and visits, many times when people from the community walk in and visit, as they did this morning, they sat over here on my left. They were looking for encouragement. I know because I spoke to them. Did you? Well, that's your job. According to this verse, that's all of our job. And I know not everybody can, and I taught in my Sunday school class this morning that, you know, you need to let God lead you, and I understand that. And I don't know if people did. I'm just simply asking a question. Did you? Someone was here this morning that lives in our area, in our community. Just looking to be encouraged. I hope they found it. But a lot of times we go to our seat, we go to our pew, and unless they get within arm's length, we don't ever talk to them. And we better be careful. The Bible says to comfort. It means to speak to them kindly, soothingly, encouraging, using our words to help them. I have felt at that at times. And if you've been in church a long time, you have felt at that at times. I mean, we do, because we just get wrapped up in what we do. You know, we sit in our pew, we talk to the people around us, we quit looking. And this is our responsibility. They will take time. They will take our energy. They will take our patience, but it will be worth it. Right now, we have church members who are feeble-minded. That is not a knock on them, because I have been there. I'll be a little bit more on it, a little bit more, not honest, all right, but a little bit more real. I've been there this week. And I'm thankful that, you know, when the men are at church, got to spend some time with them, encourage my heart. Because there's times, through circumstances, we just... You ever been there? We all will feel that way at times. Now, if you're feeble-minded tonight, let me help you too, okay? The devil as a lion walketh about seeking whom what? And when you start to become feeble-minded, he's going to fill your minds with they don't care. He's going to fill your mind with why has no one reached out to me? When many times they have, but the devil begins to blind us. And then he started doing a Google search on when your church disappoints you. He said, people don't do that. Do a Google search. Because the devil, through word and letter and spirit, will try to pull you away from that which you need more than any other time in your life, your church. You see, it goes both ways. You say, well, I'm not feeble-minded tonight. Then look for those who are. Be they here tonight or someone that's not been here in a while, and reach out to them this week. I don't know what to say. Been missing you. God brought you to my heart, and I'm praying for you. That will go a long way. Sometimes our shut-ins begin to feel feeble-minded. Sometimes the sick become feeble-minded. We've all been there. So look for those who are despondent. They've become feeble-minded, and our responsibility is to do what for them? Comfort them. Everybody say that word. Comfort. For those who are unruly, our responsibility is to what? Warn them. We warn the unruly, we comfort the feeble-minded. So you have the disorderly, you have the despondent, and then next, there are the dependent. It says, support the weak. Support the weak. Those are those who without strength. Those are those who, unless someone reaches out to them, they're going to struggle. If, you know, there was a, you know, God forbid this happened, but a fire in this building that, you know, really just took off all of a sudden, all right, I hope the young men and men would not run out screaming, ah, run, all right? We would pause, look around us, and help the children. You know, help the babies and the three-year-olds and the four-year-olds and who would be scared, pick them up in our arms and help them because they're weaker. Follow me? We'd have that responsibility. We look at that as being, well, of course we would do that. We should do that in a church. There are different levels of spiritual maturity. And they look at me, a healthy church will have different levels of spiritual maturity. Because you say, well, everyone should be mature. A healthy church that's reaching out and seeing people get saved, there's going to be young Christians there that need others to pull them under their wing and to help them. As the Bible says, to support the weak, to strengthen them. That word support, if you look it up, means to hold, to care for, and to keep close. Look for them. Now, Christianity has done this for years. It did. That's why hospitals were built. Most of them were built under some form of, you know, religion. Because that the Bible teaches that. Your orphanages, your shelters, your places like that, they were all centered at the church. When the church quit doing it, the government took it over. And that's who runs most of it now. But it's a responsibility of us as Christians to support the weak. To look for those who need help. That's why our voice should be very loud first week of November when it comes to areas of abortion. We're supporting the weak. I do not know how any saved person can vote for anyone who endorses abortion. Amen. Supporting the weak. We bring in some kids sometimes and they're ornery. And I hate the fact that some of our kids have not come back, but I'm not going to let them disrupt the service and keep people from going to heaven too. And so I talked to them and I gave them some new rules. They don't like the rules. They've not come back. I hope they do come back. But when they do, help them. I gave them their new rules that they don't like yet. We'll keep working on them. They can only sit in twos, and every two has to be with an adult. Now this is where you come in. I'm up here. So I'll need you. Take them under your wing. Invite them to sit with you. Because they need that. Look around you tonight. There are those, again, feeble-minded, staring up at the ceiling, staring at the floor. There are those tonight that are, you know, maybe possibly disorderly. There are those tonight who are weak, who need our help. That's why kids' ministries is very important. The Lord said, suffer the children to come unto me. They're weak, they're young. But not only that, but for adults, we need to have, you know, an open arm and put them under our wing and help them to grow. Look around you tonight. There are those who are weak. They just don't know. They haven't been taught. This church was built upon, before I was born, this church was built upon families, and some of you are sitting here tonight, and you're here tonight because there were other people in the church that had you over every week and encouraged you and taught you and helped you. We need more of that. I just encourage you, again, this is a commandment, who is walking disorderly that God has placed on your heart? Who tonight is despondent, who's given up, that God has placed on your heart? Who is someone who is weak that God has placed upon your heart? You say, well, I don't have anybody. Then get someone tonight. Get them tonight. Come to an altar tonight and bow down and say, God, place someone on my heart. I need to pray for that. You need to pray for that. And then act upon it. Warn them if it's someone that's walking disorderly. Comfort them if there's someone who's feeble-minded. Support them if it's someone who's weak. I was going to meet tonight with things going on. I'm going to wait a couple weeks because next week's special too. But I'm looking to start a new ministry at church and have some people working on it. And I just ask for your prayers. It goes right with this point. We're going to start a class that will cover the Sunday school period and the junior church time to help young people with special needs. Support the weak. I have certain people, and I'm asking a few others to start looking in, and we've been doing our research, we've been talking about it. There's not many ministries like that. And I think there's a lot of families that would take advantage of that. Support the weak. There are some that are physically weak tonight, some that are emotionally weak tonight, some that are spiritually weak tonight. Look for them. Seek to help them. There's a fourth type of person in this verse. There says to warn them that are unruly, the disorderly, comfort the feeble-minded, the despondent, support the weak, the dependent, be patient toward all men. Here's the hard one. If you have to be patient toward someone, right? If you have to be patient toward someone, that means they're on your nerves. Right? Or they're afflicting you in some way. Or in some way they're poking you or prodding you or in some way agitating you. Because that's why I have to be patient. You know, I told you a while back, I'm riding the bus. The chap was driving, I was sitting there, and Miles walked up to me, and he reached over the pew, and he just rubbed his hand on my head and messed up my hair. I hate when people mess up my hair. Just, I got that from my father. I despise it. I just don't like it. Leave my hair alone. My hair looks nice. Amen? Thank you. All right, yeah, all right. No, I did. You know, he's like... And he's like, ha, ha, ha. I was like, Miles, don't do that. I'm going to do it again. He did it again. Inside of me.
Yeah, come on. Okay. Ah.
Mm-hmm. Right. See, what did you do? I let him mess up my hair all the way to his house. Amen. Then I combed my hair when I got home. The fourth classification of people that Paul and the Holy Spirit tells us to help here are people, ready, that are different than you. Sometimes our personalities don't work, right? Sometimes we see things very differently. But Paul uses a word here, the Holy Spirit does, be patient toward, that next word is, it's a tough one, man. Be patient toward what? All men. Be patient. We serve a God of patience. Amen? Look, remind you of something we preached on a couple weeks ago. Look back and keep something right. We'll go right back to it. Look at Romans chapter 15. Look at this verse real quick. Romans chapter 15, verse number 5. And I know this message is a little bit more teaching, but we need this lesson tonight. Because Adam Baptist Temple and its pastor needs this message tonight. In Romans chapter 15, verse number 5, he is the God of patience. Amen. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be, ready, like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Has God shown great patience to you? Amen. And God says, we need to have that same mind in us towards other people. There are going to be people who are going to push you. There's going to be people that contradict you. There's going to be people that annoy you. There's going to be people that will be belligerent towards you. Be patient. It's not easy. Be patient. He's the God of patience, and we're to be like-minded. Be patient. There may be someone in the church that your personality just does not jive with them. Be patient. There may be someone who, you know, has been even mean to you. Be patient. I know it's not easy. Be patient. Be patient. We need this verse tonight. Be patient toward all men. All men means all men. Now, I understand that there is a line. And the Bible, we've already addressed it. Sometimes people are disorderly. And that does not mean you're not being patient for them. But when someone's out of bounds, you have to address it. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches. You say, well, how should you treat them? With patience. That doesn't mean we don't exercise church discipline. That doesn't mean we don't take a stand for what's right. It's called having a Christ-like love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know that's the love, a chapter of charity. But notice it talks about the love of God. Let me read this verse to you. In verse number 4, simply says this, charity suffereth long and is kind. What's that? Suffereth long. It's patient. Be patient. Maybe there's some kids that are starting to get on your nerves. Be patient. Maybe there's an adult that's been trying to push you. Be patient. Amen. Use God-given wisdom. There are times that you have to speak up. Look over in Proverbs real quick. Proverbs chapter number 25. Brother Susie, you can put this up if you want. Proverbs 25 and verse number 23. Look at a few verses real quick. Proverbs 25 and in verse number 23. It says that here in this passage, the north wind driveth away the rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Sometimes you have to take someone who their tongue is out of control and you have to say, stop. Now, none of you are amening, but that's what the Bible says. An angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Again, it's not that you're not being patient. In Proverbs chapter 27, Proverbs 27, in verse number 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. There is a time to do that. But please put it all with scriptures. Be patient towards all men. While we must be patient, we must be resolved to do right. So there are going to be people. There are going to be people who are different than you. There are going to be people who don't see it like you do. There are going to be people whose personality is not like yours. Be patient towards all men. Not just here at church. It doesn't say to the brethren, to all men. So that grouchy guy that works at the, you know, wherever you stop every morning, be patient. Amen. That boss that you have at work, be patient. That coworker that's always making fun of your Christianity, be patient. That pastor who seems to always be stepping on your toes, be patient. Let God work. Because they not only need help, but let me tell you the end and wrap this up. They need love. In verse number 15, see then when you find the disorderly, when you find the despondent, when you find the dependent, those that are different around you, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So what happens when they're just treating me wrong, unfair, unjust, saying bad things about me, talking bad about me, tearing me down? You don't do that to them. you don't do that to them. Well, they deserve it. Maybe. And again, I didn't say you didn't speak up to the truth. You don't speak up for what's right. But you don't do evil because they did evil. There's been times with some people I've wanted to punch them in the nose. How dare you? You have to. There's been times that I've had to take a deep breath and swallow hard. But you don't render evil for evil. There's been times I've failed at that. But you don't render evil for evil unto any man. That's why it was so unbelievably commendable when the martyrs were placed on stakes and burnt for their faith, or drowned in water, and we look at them and call them heroes today, as well we should. But you should never read of Christians grabbing those people and drowning them. Did they feel like it? Probably. And we don't live in that world, amen? Aren't you thankful for that? Not that it's not coming. But we don't live in that world right now. But we do get mad, don't we? We do get angry. And our flesh does want to strike back. But we're told not to. It's amazing in a church how you find so many different types of people. In this church is a group of people that by nature should be very incompatible. We would not be grouped together for any other reason except the Lord. You can go to God's churches all across the world and you'll find the rich sitting next to the poor, the lawyer sitting next to the janitor, the CEO sitting next to the clerk, all working together for the purpose of Christ. We are bound together by a common faith, the blood of Christ. We ought to praise God for the unity that God's given us. But what I've learned, and this is a lesson I had to learn in working with kids for many years, is that those who act out the most are because they are searching for love. Child that's very rebellious is quite often a child who doesn't feel accepted, or whose parents has told them they're dumb, or doesn't love them, and doesn't tell them they love them, and doesn't act like they love them. Almost every year when we would go away for camp, it was not uncommon to take 60, 80 kids down to camp. And on the way home, those kids at 2 in the morning here in the parking lot would grab me and say, "Please don't make me go home." Those are the same kids on Monday that I had to move next to my bunk. Same kids on Monday that had to sit next to me in church and hated me for doing that. Let me remind you something as we close. That Jesus loved Judas as much as he loved John. And Jesus loved Peter the same way he loved Pilate. And Jesus loved, Brother Alexander spoke on this morning, those men that spit on his face. He loved them as much as he loved the one who wiped his feet with her tears. He loved the thief that cursed him as much as he loved the thief that called on him. May we share that love. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves, right here, Kazzato Baptist Temple, and to all men. Ask God to give you someone tonight. Disorderly, despondent, someone who is different than you, someone who maybe is dependent and weak, but ask God to lay someone on your heart tonight. Let's pray, Father.